Joining us now, the president of the Las Vegas Aviators, Don Logan. Good morning, Don.
Hi, Don.
Hey, what's happening? How about Korak's got great pipes, doesn't he?
He does.
29 years doing great. That with that team, huh? Yeah. That was a while.
That is a while.
And I still see him showing up to UNLV basketball games for some reason. He's always walking around UNLV basketball games. Don, I wanted to ask you, did you watch the A's final game at the Coliseum, and what did you think watching that event?
I looked at it, be perfectly honest with you, I went golfing. I got invited by a lot of people to go up there. I was like, the guy from Vegas showing up there. I didn't feel it. You know, I mean, I just told Jen, first World Series I ever went to was at the Coliseum, first NFL game I ever went to, Raiders and KC Chiefs, Monday Night Football, which is also the first time I got on a plane. I had a lot of memories in that joint, but. They didn't need me yesterday.
I was there and I turned the credential around to where.
You didn't want him to know.
I just didn't want to say, here comes Las Vegas. We don't want anybody here.
Yeah, you're right about that.
does it feel, given that you've got the memories and connection with it, does it feel weird to you that Major League Baseball won't be played at that Coliseum?
You know, it does. I can tell, you know, there's a lot of, we don't have enough time to, I was in the Bay Area for a couple of years, spent a lot of time at the Coliseum and Candlestick. So, you know, it's, I've never, you know, it always seemed over there that the A's always had the better teams when I was going there a lot in the 80s, and certainly the Bash Brothers winning in the late 80s and 90s. But it always felt like that. It was just, that was a Giants town. With the Giants going there with Mays and McCovey and Marichal and Cepeda, they established a dominance in the market. I don't think it's too dissimilar to what you have in L.A. You know, the Dodgers, they call themselves the Los Angeles Angels. Everybody knows it's not Los Angeles. It's, you know, that's Dodger country and the Bay Area is Giant country. So it's almost... that's like the dominant team, and the A's never got the respect they would deserve when they were really good. And, you know, when the Coliseum, I'm trying to make it's the poster child for why you can't play baseball in a football stadium and vice versa. So a lot of reasons for that, I think.
Donna, yesterday Dave Stewart was giving some interviews, and I thought it was interesting. You know, he grew up right in the shadows of that place, and he was obviously really emotional. People in one sense will hear this comment when he said this city deserves baseball and say, well, if they deserve baseball, why is only 9,000 showing up, even though they're really, really passionate people? Does that city deserve, and I know the A's are coming here and, you know, with the relationship with the Aviators, but does that city deserve baseball?
No. I mean, perfect, and I'm the only one that'll say this, but they lost the Warriors because they didn't support it, and they didn't have the political guts to fix the Oakland Coliseum. They lost the Raiders, same reason, and now they've lost the A's. The sad thing that I think in this whole deal is that John and his family are taking more heat than the others. You know, than Mark Davis or Joe Lacob and Peter Guber did. It's not fair. And it just, did you drive? I know you did. Just, you went down Hagenberger from the airport. Did you see how brutal that is?
Yes.
How potholes on the streets, the businesses boarded up. I mean, this is on Oakland. You know, the common denominator in all those teams leaving is Oakland. They've had multiple mayors, multiple, they used to call it board of supervisors, the city council. They've never been able to get it done. John was willing to step up with a freaking $1 billion, and they kept putting strings on it. It's like putting pork in every deal. And the city's falling apart. We stayed up there a few years back when San Diego State played Cal in football. They recommended you not go out of their hotel. You can't even walk out of this big, beautiful Marriott because it's so brutal downtown. So it's on Oakland. It's not on anything. You know, they elected the wrong kind of people to make sports matter up there anymore. Now they don't have any sports, and that's just the way it is.
We literally, because we knew everything was boarded up, we knew how it had become yesterday, driving out of the rental car place, we asked the lady who checks, you know, your license and everything, nice place to have breakfast around here. She goes, not here. What are you talking about?
She goes, right.
Go to Alameda. Take a left and get out of here.
It's happening. It's They've had Oakland creep into San Francisco. It's brutal there too. That's the most beautiful city in the world, and it's decrepit now.
Don, I wanted to ask you something because the last couple of weeks, Scott Boras has spoken about the Sacramento ballpark and facilities there and some complaints that I'm assuming he's relaying from players about the turf and how hot it's going to get there. The facilities might not be what Major League Baseball players are used to and how much of a problem that could be. What do you know about Sacramento and how MLB ready that actually will be for next season when the A's start playing there?
Well, it's an interim place. The challenges from day one, their locker rooms are in the outfield. They're not, you guys have been in our place. Ours is a major league stadium. It's not anywhere like that. Sacramento they're building a new locker room for the A's. That the visiting team is still going to use the existing ones. And as far as the turf, Murray Cook, who put in our field, we pay Murray. He has Bright View's professional sports turf division. He owns that and runs that. He was just here, came to a game last week and was headed up to Sacramento and tells me that the type of artificial surface they're putting in isn't the old school AstroTurf and they're not going to be as hot, but we have to keep it moist and it really is not going to be what everybody's saying. He was defending it, but again, it's the way it's put in. And I think, again, it's going to be playing 151 games concurrently with the AAA club. There's going to be challenges. I think the grass might be the least of the challenges, to be honest with you, because you can play at night. It's going to be hot in the daytime, but it's hot in the daytime everywhere.
Don Logan with us, the president of the Las Vegas Aviators. Something else that I think could be interesting at some point in the future, could the Aviators rebrand in the near future?
Everybody keeps asking that. Somebody put that out on social media, incomplete, inaccurate information. And that's, I don't know where that started. We did the What If days. We did the Gamblers for a day, and then we did the Whales another day. And those were all, that's just minor league marketing trying to, drum up some attention because we can't get Eddie to come out and write a column ever anymore. So we got to go the old-fashioned way. And somebody said, oh, this is what they're thinking about doing. Seaport Entertainment is now, was spun, and we were spun into that entity, and everything's on the table. How they may decide they need somebody to take my place and do things differently. So everything's up in the air, but that's not something that's even, it got discussed because it got posted, but that we haven't done anything. The thing we got to do is figure out how we're going to coexist with the A's when they're here. It's different with, everybody says the Golden Knights and Silver Knights. Well, Bill Foley owns and his group own both of those teams. And the Silver Knights, I don't know that they really, their business success is secondary to being, to the on-ice success and player development, which they do a great job, obviously, with. And John's going to, if the Fishers are going to own the A's and we own the Aviators, that's a different dynamic. So that's the thing that, just so you know and your listeners know, that's what we're focusing on is, how to keep making the Aviators relevant. We're still the top grossing team in the history of minor league baseball. We've got the best facility in minor league baseball. We've established a fantastic fan base. I think we've proven that professional sports and baseball in particular work here. We started it. We don't get any credit again, Ed. I never would beg you anymore, but that's the issue is that it's the name. Changing the name is not going to make it any easier to compete with Major League Baseball.
Talk to us about the championship game.
Attaboy. I thought that's what this was about. Got the Royals and the Astros AAA affiliate playing at Las Vegas ballpark tomorrow night. Be there, be square. But no, this is a thing. Part of what, we have a great partnership with the Convention Visitors Authority, and when we did the naming rights deal for Las Vegas Ballpark. That, you know, the name is indicative of what was intended from the deal, is to be Las Vegas's ballpark. And you know, we have high school tournaments. We've had the state tournament. We have UNLV play. It's become their ASU game annually. We've got the West Coast Conference tournament. We've got a college. We had a college tournament last year, Ohio State and Oklahoma. We're, you know, we've got a college tournament coming up again this February. We've got, you know, the Savannah Bananas and the Party Animals, and you know, it the goal when we built the stadium, and obviously the Major League Exhibition Games, but was to get exposure for the ballpark and for Las Vegas. So this event, the reason that I've, you know, I take it, and it's hard. Trust me, it's hard to sell Sugar Land, which nobody even knows where the hell that is, at Omaha, in Las Vegas, is it's on MLB TV. So we get live national telecast from the ballpark, from, you know, exposing Las Vegas. So the B-roll that everybody's using, that you know, you see every week on a Raider game or a Golden Knights game, of the Strip and the surrounding area, where this features a little bit more of the Summerlin area and kind of the other side of Vegas. But it's good for the market. It's good for our sponsors. You know, their signage gets national exposure, and it's just a good thing to do, and it's part of why, you know, we take, you know, this we're the partnership we have with the LVCVA and with everybody else. You know, we want to do the most we can to expose them, and that's why you do these kind of things.
Well, the AAA championship game is at Las Vegas Ballpark. It's 7 o'clock tomorrow, between Sugar Land and Omaha. Don, president of the Las Vegas Aviators, Don Logan. Don, thank you so much for joining us. It's always great to
talk
to you.
All right, guys.
Thanks a lot, Donnie.
See you, Eddie. Take care.
Take care.
So there's Don Logan. Always great when he calls out Ed.
Yes, he does. That's okay.
I think every time he comes on,
he's
Donnie
baseball.
Ah,
that's okay. I think every time I get that.
But he shut down the rebranding. That's not going to happen. I mean, he didn't say it's not going to happen at some point, but that they haven't.
Yeah.
They're not anywhere in a process of rebranding or renaming.
Danny wants one of those hats with the dice on it.
He can get one. Well, they might be sold out, but he could have gotten one at some point.
I went to the game last weekend. I didn't see any at the store that I went to.
Pretty sure they sold out of all the gambler stuff.
Yeah.
Like, right. I think, if I remember correctly, they had to stop selling it online so that they had stuff in person to buy in store, like if you went to the game. So, yeah, Danny could have gotten one, but too late now. Now he's going to have to wait 4 years until they actually do it.
Well, when he did his 9-9, he should have had one.
Yeah,
they should have given you one.
That should have been you a prize.
That was beforehand, though.
You did 9-9 before the Gamblers?
I did it mid-May. I think Gamblers was over the summer.
They still should have given you one. They knew it was coming. They had a hat ready.
Absolutely. They should have given me with a jersey with my name on it.
Okay. Like, yeah,
come on.
Too much. They brought you the hot dogs.
Exactly.
Calm down over there, Danny. Relax.
They helped out greatly. It was an awesome night.
Before we go to brief set, I did want to ask, were you at all worried that people would be like, oh, this guy's from the Las Vegas Review-Journal?
No. I had a few friends up there in Oakland in the media, and they were really nice. And I got a couple stares at the credential, a couple raising eyes, but that's about it. There's nothing. What are you going to do? Like, that happened when we went up there when the Raiders first got to Las Vegas, and we wanted to see. It's not our fault.
You were there for like 2 years covering Raiders games.
It's not our fault, but we got kind of shunned out.
It's Ed's fault, everybody.
I mean,
in Oakland.
Crazy.
It's Ed's fault.
It was crazy.
Ed, you voted on getting
public
money.
That's right.
Money,
you were state legislator, Ed.
It's all on you.
I was up there when
Representative
it happened.
Representative Ed Graney
I was up there when it
made
happened.
It happen. Did you get a donation from John Fisher, too?
No, I didn't get a donation from anybody.
Was there any other Vegas media? Did any of the TV stations send anybody up?
Las Vegas Sun sent someone up.
The Sun did? Okay.
Channel 3 sent someone up.
Okay. I didn't pay enough attention to the actual coverage from here, but I was hoping you were like the only Las Vegas.
No, there was media up there.
Like, yeah, I'm stealing the team. Was anybody from Sacramento there?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Oh, they got to hate them a little bit more.
Yes, they had a columnist there. Yes. Yeah, exactly. Hate that guy. Why are you hating me?
Coming up next, it's Bischoff's Freeze, but first, we got a sandwich to give away. If you want to win a Porta Sub sandwich, now's your chance. We're just giving away a coupon to a sandwich. That's all this is. It's one of my favorite giveaways that we've ever done. It's a 2-foot classic sub from Porta Subs, your neighborhood sandwich shop. The coupon will be here at the station to get you that 2-foot sub from Porta Subs. 702-364-1100 is the phone number. If you want a 2-foot sub from Porta Subs, Now's your chance. 702-364-1100. Caller number five at 702-364-1100.
It's Bischoff's Briefs, brought to you by Paul Padilaw. It's not about the injury. It's about the recovery. Bischoff's Briefs.
Stuffing should be stuffed inside the turkey. Am I correct?
It can also be baked in a casserole dish.
Well, then we'd have to call it something else, wouldn't we?
Bischoff's Briefs.
Expectations for us are low as a rattlesnake's belly button, huh? But hey, we got 38 chances to prove all them folks wrong, right?
Bischoff's Briefs.
My hopes are as high as a draft's top hat.
Bischoff's Briefs.
I want to do some Raiders here as well because they're playing a football game this weekend too. First off, Max Crosby didn't practice again yesterday. Any opinion change on if they would actually hold him out this weekend?
No, because he says no. The coach will say no, so he will play.
Coach Crosby.
I still think they should. Like, it's high ankles. But I think him and Herbert, I don't know if the severity is the same, but they both have high ankle sprains and are playing through it. And normally high ankle sprains are like you're out for a while situations.
Yes.
And they both played through it, and neither one of them was good. Like, the Chargers didn't get full Justin Herbert. The Raiders didn't get full Max Crosby. It seems kind of obvious that they shouldn't be playing.
Right.
But they are, or they did, and we'll see between both of them if they play this weekend. But I feel like they shouldn't. Less than 100% Crosby still is probably better than some of their other options, but he's still not great. Like, Crosby was not good against the Carolina Panthers. And maybe he'll be good on a high ankle sprain this week, but we'll see. Because, quick fun fact here, the Browns don't have an offensive line.
They just made their two tackles out for the game.
Yeah, they have two tackles that are ruled out. This is the Athletics beat writer on the Browns. I'm just going to read what he wrote on a story about their offensive line. Last week, the Cleveland Browns moved their left guard to left tackle and their center to left guard. They then had to put a hampered right tackle back in the game because both the left tackle and backup right tackle were injured. Also, Pro Bowl guard Wyatt Teller suffered an MCL sprain while blocking during a field goal attempt.
I shouldn't laugh, but
so their offensive line is nobody. I mean, it's practice squad guys are probably coming up at least to be depth. So this offensive line is probably going to be bad. If Crosby was 100%, we'd be talking about, all right, is he going to get 5 sacks or 7 sacks?
Right.
He's not, so we'll see. But I think the real hope is that Tyree Wilson can have a good game.
Yeah.
Like, I think
he's more confident. He's talking.
That's the real hope, is that the guys not named Crosby can take advantage of a depleted, I mean, probably the most depleted in football offensive line right now. Because, I mean, listen, if the Raiders play this game and, you know, Crosby's hurt, okay. But, like, if Janarius Robinson, if Daniel Snowden, if Tyree Wilson, if we're just like,
well, combined for 1 sack,
they got basically 2 pressures the entire game.
Right.
There's not much hope for what this defensive end group looks like outside of Crosby.
Are we going to get the third tight end put in as offensive lineman?
Oh, they might have to do that.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Well, David Njoku's out too.
Right.
How many tight ends do they have? Yeah. I don't know.
They probably have 3 on the active roster.
Yeah, so they're in pretty rough shape. So the Raiders defense through 3 games. I'm going to give you some numbers here. They're 29th in yards per play, allowing 6.1. They're 31st in rushing yards per carry. They're 22nd in passing yards per attempt. They're 29th in points allowed at 27 per game. They're 30th in pressure rate. They're one of the bottom 3 teams at just pressure on the quarterback. They're tied for 24th in sacks. They are 30th in turnover rate. They've only forced 1 turnover on the year. By PFF grades, they have the 31st best defense. EPA per play has them 24th. DVOA has them 28th. Is this a bottom 10 defense in the NFL? Because through 3 weeks, they are.
Through 3 weeks, they are. I still don't think it is, although we'll see, because they're going to their depth now.
Right.
And
Epps is out for the season.
Kuntz is out for the season.
Crosby's playing hurt. Through a significant injury.
Right.
Like, we're now talking about the depth here.
Bottom 10?
Let me ask it to you this way. Are the days of hoping or expecting or whatever you wanted to do, are the days of hoping that they had a top 5 defense gone?
Oh, completely? Top 5, I think so. Those 2 injuries are bad injuries for them.
Can they be top 10? Is there a universe where this defense, with the injuries they have right now, can still get back to a top 10 level in the NFL?
they've just been so bad watching them live for 3 weeks. Top 10 seems like a stretch. It really does.
Right. I think so, too. And I think at this point, I think a lot of it depends on Crosby's health, right?
Oh, he depends on every, everything depends on him.
Like, I feel like they should still be top 20, but I can't say that if Crosby's playing, if he's playing through a high ankle sprain for the whole season.
Right.
Like, if he's 85% for the rest of the year, I don't think they're top 20.
Boy, they'd have to be really bad not to be top 20, but you're right. Everything hinges on him. And the other thing you're right about is high ankle sprains don't usually heal if you keep playing.
Yeah. Like,
they don't, that's the worst kind to have. And sometimes, like, it's 2 to 4 weeks.
Right. The general idea is, like, low ankle sprain, you're going to be fine.
Yes.
Like, it might take a day or two.
And that might be what Freeman has.
Right. You're going to be fine. But high ankle sprain is usually like, oh, you need to stop. You need to stop doing things for a little while. And he's not. He's still, well,
he's still
not practicing.
Trying to play an NFL game.
But he played through it on Sunday. So I don't know. If you tell me Crosby sat out for the next 2 weeks, came back, and is 95%, then I'd feel pretty decent that they're going to be a top 20 defense. If he keeps trying to play through this, if he gets hurt again, hurts something else, if he's just 80% for the rest of the year, then I'm going to say they're not a top 20 defense the rest of the season because he's not the same player that he normally is, which is one of the best in the NFL when he's healthy. The good news, aside from just the Browns' offensive line being me and Danny, they're 31st in offensive DVOA.
Yeah, they're not good.
They're 25th in points.
Right.
Deshaun Watson is horrible. Like, might be worst quarterback in the NFL so far this year. Quick side note, Carolina was 32 in DVOA before they played the Raiders. So they did just play a bad offense and got torched by Andy Dalton. So there's reason to believe, even if this Raiders defense is not good this week, is not healthy enough to be good, neither is the Browns offense.
Right.
And it might be a battle of, both of these units are bad, so
both of them stink.
Right. So who's actually good when they're on the field together? But that is some good. I don't think they get torched by this Browns offense.
No, I don't think it's last week.
If they do,
then there's major, major issues.
Do you think they win?
Yes.
I think so, too, but I really don't feel confident about that.
Well, how can you, after last week, feel confident about much of anything?
I really don't.
They can't run it at all. Their defense isn't as good as we thought it was. Minshew, if given, you know, again, and you had his numbers the other day, I think they should be pass first anyway, but you don't know what Gardner Minshew you're going to get on a week-to-week basis. He could be good.
Yeah.
He could be fine. He's been mostly fine. I mean, he's like you said the other day, he's not even one of the 10 reasons they're 1-2.
Right. Yeah.
He's been fine.
Hell, he might be the reason they are 1-2.
Yeah, exactly.
And
he might be the reason they're 1-2.
I'm going to say they win and don't feel confident about it, but I'm going to say they win and I'm going to give it like a 20-17 score, something along those lines, a little bit. Not like low scoring, but not really much offense in this game.
Raiders currently -1.5.
All right. I got them covering too. Wow. Look at that. No, don't ever say I'm not pro Raiders. Got them winning and covering against the Browns. The biggest Raiders homer there is. Coming up next, Cassie Soto joins the show.
This has been Bischoff's Briefs, brought to you by Paul Padilaw. It's not about the injury. It's about the recovery. Now, back to the press box on ESPN Las Vegas.
Joining us now, it's Cassie Soto. Good morning, Cassie.
Good morning.
Ed just ran away and left, just so you know.
Of course he did. He heard my name and went to the hills.
Yeah, he was hoping you were going to back out and not join us today, but Cassie's here, so Ed is gone. He's gone to cover something with the Raiders today, but it's just you, me, and Danny. I don't know why we let Danny talk, but we're probably going to do that here. First thing that's very important, I need you to know that the Raiders have another barefoot player.
No.
Yeah, I don't know if he's as committed as Mac Hollins to just barefoot all the time, but Dylan Lauby, one of the running backs they drafted, he was warming up last week without shoes on the field.
Okay, did anyone follow him? Do we have a camera specifically for him to see if he does full practice, if he's running, you know, on the track, if he's going home? the streets. What's something Raiders Way and running across the street foot as well? Do we know this intel?
We've not gotten any of that reporting. He doesn't play except on special teams, so I don't think anybody cares outside of like you, me, and Danny. That might be it. But hopefully at some point in the future we will. Maybe if you're just driving that way, he'll run across the street in front of you.
That's true. That's true. I could just get a redo that video. Yeah, I was always a little more obscure facts, but clearly they stuck because here we are talking about it, 2-3 years later, so yeah. It's great.
I mean, Mac Hollins is still in the NFL.
Yeah, there was another interview not the Giants. Who's he with now?
Atlanta, right? Did I make that
Atlanta,
up?
Yeah. I think they did a full feature on him and why he doesn't wear shoes still, but I haven't seen the Free the Feet t-shirt yet, which was my favorite, I must say.
You got to have the Free the Feet t-shirt. That's very important. Also, could be very dangerous for some people.
He was with Atlanta last year. He's in Buffalo now.
Okay, all right.
Buffalo. Okay, yeah. There you go.
Did you realize that UNLV football could become the number one story in sports?
Okay. What? This is why I really wanted Ed on, because I wanted to see how many ice cream cones he had to eat at Jason's Deli the other day to calm the nerve, and then to just kind of get like a Spark Notes version of what's been going on this past week.
All right, I'll give you what I believe the timeline is here in a condensed manner. Back in January, UNLV's offensive coordinator Brennan Marion told Matthew Sluka and his agent, or maybe just one of them at the time, that there would be $100,000 in NIL money. How serious that offer was, how flippant did he say it, don't know. But whatever he said led Matthew Sluka to believe he was going to get $100,000 if he came to UNLV. Then Sluka stays at Holy Cross because he's got to finish his degree and he doesn't come to UNLV until August, so nothing really happens. And then when he gets here in August, the agent starts contacting the NIL collective to be like, hey, where's the money? And they're like, you're going to have to wait, or we don't have it, whatever. They don't have it. And this goes through September. Eventually, the agent has a phone call with the NIL collective and reportedly Barry Odom, which would be an NCAA violation. And they say, we don't have $100,000 for you. We can give you the standard NIL contract that we give all of our players, which is $3,000 a month for 4 months. And that's it. And Sluka said, I thought I was getting $100,000. You're offering me $12,000. I quit. See you later.
Oof. Yeah. I would eat a lot of ice cream cones, too, if I was Ed trying to cover all of that.
Well, Ed went to Oakland yesterday.
Yeah, he left town.
What?
Yeah, he went and covered the A's final home game. Yeah.
Yeah, true. And he's been a little bit busy.
Yeah, he had a 5 a.m. flight, got to Oakland, ate breakfast, went and covered a 12:30 game, and then flew back last night after his flight got delayed. So he had an entire day of being gone, but not staying the night anywhere.
This poor guy.
I never thought
he'd feel bad for Ed.
He's fine. Although he did tell us that he turned his credential around, so people there weren't like, oh, Las Vegas, what are you doing here?
I feel like he had to do that the last time he went too, didn't he?
Well, he was saying that when they covered the Raiders for those 2 years when they said they were coming but still had to stay in Oakland. He said, yeah, they got a lot of comments and looks, apparently, when they were covering it from Las Vegas, as if it was Ed Graney's fault that the A's and Raiders are coming to Vegas.
Right. No, for sure. I think, yeah, he'd just have to, like, say, like, oh, I'm just from, you know, a newspaper writer. Don't ask me where I'm from, but can you give me this quote anyways?
Right. It's very important
out
there.
Yeah, you have to play it low, for sure.
So, yeah. But, yeah, UNLV football, they're big news this week, and everybody cares about it. It's unbelievable to me. Like, for 10 years, they have basically been not relevant nationally. Like, there's nothing UNLV really ever does that makes them important or anybody outside of Las Vegas care about them. And for 48 hours, they were the number one story in college sports and probably in all of sports in the U.S.
Well, some people still might not know very much about us because there were many a websites where I still saw UNLV running Rebels football program.
Yeah, it happens. Hey, listen, to be fair, Guy Fieri, who's like this unofficial celebrity mascot, he called the football team the Running Rebels, too. So even Guy Fieri doesn't have it locked down.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so I think...
Isn't he an alum? He's an alum.
We talked about this. It's like a fake alum. I don't think... Danny, did Guy Fieri get the degree? We looked this up last week.
Jimmy Kimmel?
I don't know
Jimmy Kimmel's a fake alum.
Yeah,
Jimmy Kimmel for sure. But I know Guy Fieri went there. I don't know if he graduated.
Right, we couldn't figure it out. Yeah. So we're not sure if he's fake alum or real alum. But UNLV should claim him either way. He should be more involved, I think. He should be on the sidelines of every game.
But his son did graduate from there.
Okay, he's got
a real alum. Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah. Yeah, because his son graduated the same time my husband graduated from UNLV, and we were a few rows down from that family, and the applause that guy got, let me tell you. Very loud.
He actually did graduate in 1990 with a degree in hotel management.
Look at Guy Fieri. Absolutely killing it. All right, Cassie, I got to know. You are at a graduation for a family member. Is your goal to be the loudest family there?
Depends on who the family member is.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, probably. I'm the annoying one that like puts your face, like prints out your face on oversized like stickers and holds it up on, you know, like you make signs of your face, and I bring the balloons that you always have to check in beforehand, of course. But you know what I love making is those lays, like those money lays to put around for the pictures. I do enjoy making those. So yeah, I'm the annoying graduation person. For sure.
I need you and Brandy, my wife, actually her mother-in-law, to somehow be at a graduation competing against each other, because that is what my mother-in-law does. I've been to graduations with a printed out face of somebody. It is just be as loud as you can for those 10 seconds. It's brutal.
I am like, get there. Everyone get there 2 hours early. We got to save the seats. Everybody be here so we don't have to fight anybody. Everybody be in your seat or else you're out. Like, we're not waiting for you.
Yeah, you might be the worst.
Oh, yeah, I am.
Brandy's brother graduated from Nevada, and Brandy and I went there. And when we flew in, they lost our luggage. So we went to the graduation like T-shirt, gym shorts, like this is all we have.
How disappointed was your mother-in-law?
I mean, she was disappointed, but it wasn't our fault, so she wasn't exactly mad or anything. But yeah, it was pretty great.
Oh my gosh, yeah, no, I am the annoying graduation person for sure.
Important question, is Archie a horse for Halloween?
Okay, this is what I really came on to talk about today. The only reason I said yes to today, I have to tell you about my new TikTok endeavor.
Oh, wait, have you posted ones? Because I haven't seen them recently.
We're coming back.
Oh.
We're coming back stronger than ever. 31 days of Halloween costumes with Archie.
Oh, boy. Is this going to be good?
It's going to be good.
Do you already have all 31 Halloween costumes purchased?
I think we're at like 16 so far.
All right.
Yeah.
I got a picture of Archie with a cowboy on the back. So
got a sneak peek. Peek of it. And I only sent you the freeze frame. We're actually already done recorded that video. So.
Oh, that's a freeze frame. He's sitting still in a video. This is good of Archie.
That one's a good one. I'm very excited for that one.
All right.
Well, that one might have to be an early draw or early release so we can get it out.
Is Archie like gonna play along to each part? Like, I'm assuming he runs around and makes it look like this cowboy's gonna fall off at some point. He's got to play the part in every costume.
You know, I don't want to give any spoilers here, but you're on the right track.
All right, this is good. Are any of his costumes dinosaur related?
I'm too soon to tell. You're gonna have to stick around. You're gonna have to check Archie the Corgi on TikTok every day starting October 1st.
All right, Cassie, I'm looking forward to it. I don't know if I want to give you the views, but I'm looking forward to it. I'll watch it.
But you know what? If we get sponsored again, Archie can't eat all these treats by himself. So Churro might be in for a treat here himself.
Ooh, Churro! As long as he's not swallowing toys and making us go to the emergency vet,
I don't know which one will be Churro friendly, but I'll let you pick if we get any extras. Which one he can take that won't cost you an ER vet bill.
That's right. All right, Cassie. What's the TikTok page? Just one more time.
Archie the Corgi.
Okay, everybody, check that out in 4 or 5 days, and there will be Halloween content ready to go. Thanks, Cassie. Ed's afraid of you. Don't forget it.
Thanks.
So there's Cassie Soto. Always fun to talk to, and I'm glad she's now excited that the Raiders have another barefoot player.
I was quite shocked when I saw him during. Was that warm-ups or practice that he was doing?
I thought it was warm-ups. Wasn't that on Sunday that you tagged me in? You tagged me in the tweet.
I don't know. Like I don't remember when I tagged people.
I know. You do it quite a bit, and then I ignore it most of the time.
Nah, it's all right.
As long as I can ignore Danny, things are going well.
Nah.
We got tickets to give away. If you want to go to the Shriners Children's Open, here's your chance. October 17th through the 20th at TPC Summerlin. You'll see some of the best golfers in the world. Tickets are available at ShrinersChildrensOpen.com. You can also go to our website, LVSportsNetwork.com, and register to win VIP tickets. So you can win some VIP tickets, some nice tickets. But right now, you can just win a pair from us. 702-364-1100. That's the phone number. It's the Shriners Children's Open here in Vegas at TPC Summerlin, October 17th through the 20th. 702-364-1100. That is the phone number. Two tickets to the Shriners Children's Open to caller number 8.
Follow the guys on Twitter, at Ed Graney and at Bischoff underscore Tyler.
Danny, you've got a show tomorrow.
We do.
Treasure Island.
Treasure Island from 9 to 11. Me and Jared, Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar.
Go see Danny. You guys still on Twitch?
We are. Every weekend, we stream it live on Twitch at LV Sports Radio, all one word.
Fantastic. So you can watch Jared and Danny. You could go see them in person, or you can obviously listen on ESPN Las Vegas.
Yeah. I can't guarantee, but the giveaways that we have, they're pretty good. So
did
come
you have
on
in,
down.
Did you have in person out there?
Yeah. All we right. have plenty of giveaways in person.
You already know what your giveaways are?
I mean, if I just walk to the back shelf, I can find out.
Oh,
what
they're sitting out there for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. We have been giving away tickets to the UNLV football game tomorrow against Fresno State, so there's a chance that we could have a four-pack for tomorrow.
Do you have a $100,000 NIL check? Because that could have been helpful.
I don't know. I have to talk to my people.
Okay. All right. Get that done. I want to read a couple of things from the text line. First, Ryan said, are there any mountains at all in Ohio? Which I think is a great, great point that if you're the Mountain West, if you're going to add teams, I think they got to have mountains in their state. It's going to be some mountain close. Looking it up, in Ohio, the highest point is a place called Campbell Hill.
Oh, yeah, we got the hill.
So I'm assuming that it's named Campbell Hill means it's not a mountain.
Hills are just small mountains.
But they're not technically mountains. Right, like in Mississippi, there are no mountains in Mississippi.
Yeah.
The highest point is something hill. So I'm assuming that Campbell Hill is not a mountain in Ohio, and therefore they don't have any mountains. There is something about like the Appalachian mountain range almost extends into Ohio.
No.
So they're trying to fake claim a mountain.
No.
I don't think that counts. I don't think Ohio can be, or Toledo can be admitted into the Mountain West unless they have a state that has mountains, and they're not. They're in Ohio.
I would agree.
Can't put them in. Because quickly running through it, everybody in the Mountain West has a mountain in their state.
Yes.
At least the remaining ones. I didn't go through everybody in the other ones, but I think they do too. But everybody has a mountain in their state. Hawaii just is a mountain. It's just underground.
That's
so
true.
Underwater. So everybody's got a mountain, so we're all good, but we can't have Toledo. And I'm also going to assume Illinois doesn't have mountains either. So
I would assume
no mountains.
They don't.
No mountains allowed for those scenes. So good comment by Ryan. Dennis said two things on the text line. The first one, Odom didn't want to take the money. I think he means give the money. But Odom didn't want to take the money because all they want, Haj. Stop overthinking this, Tyler. Sluka was a liability.
I think he did mean take the money from Circa.
Oh, got it. All right, so Odom didn't want to take the money from Circa to give to Sluka because they all want Haj. If they wanted Haj Malik Williams, they could have started Haj Malik Williams at any point this season. Like,
yes.
I think UNLV's offense is going to be fine with Haj Malik Williams.
I think it will improve.
I agree. I think most people that have watched UNLV aren't too worried about the offense like falling off with Sluka being gone. But the coaches did pick him. Like, the coaches wanted Sluka. They chose him to be the starter. If they thought Haj Malik Williams was better, they could have started him in one of these three games. But they didn't, so clearly the coaches think something of Sluka more than Haj Malik Williams. From their end, they thought Sluka was better. I don't think the offense takes a hit, but they definitely thought Sluka was better. They wanted him to some effect.
So I want to ask you a question that Steve asked Caleb Herring yesterday. In terms of where they are compared to each other, what percentage of Sluka do you think Haj Malik Williams is? And the options that Steve gave out were 50, 75, or 90%.
Like, as good as?
Yes.
I don't know, but I think it's pretty close to 100%.
And, well, Caleb went a different way. Instead of giving an overall percent, he separated it into passing and running.
Right. What did Caleb have to say about his passing? Because
Caleb said he's 100%, if not higher.
If he's only 100%, that's terrible news for UNLV. He's got to be more than 100% of Sluka's passing.
Right.
If he's exactly
the same. 44%.
Right. If he's exactly the same passer as Sluka, the offense is done. They're cooked. They got no shot because he's not going to be the runner that Sluka was. What did he say his running ability was? Like,
I think 50? He said 80%.
Oh, 80 would be very good. If they can get better passing and still 80% of the running, they're going to be fine. I'll be honest. I'll be surprised if it's 80%. Like, that final drive against Kansas was Sluka just making plays with his feet. The fourth down touchdown,
The only reason they were able to go for it is because on a 3rd and 13, Sluka ran for 12 yards where he broke 3 tackles. Mm-hmm. On 3rd and 12, the quarterback scrambled, or 3rd and 13, and almost got it because he broke, like, that was an incredible run. As bad as Sluka's been as a passer, that drive against Kansas, the only reason it worked was because of his legs. They didn't have any of that game. The running backs ran for like 20 yards or something. They could not run the ball outside of Sluka. So,
yeah, he had over 100 rush yards.
Yeah, they are losing a lot there. But he also, the passing game was pretty hindered with him at mm-hmm. quarterback. Ricky White has 15 yards in the 2 FBS games. That's a pretty significant number there. One other text, this from also from Dennis. We only know one side of what was promised. Marion could have said, as starting quarterback at UNLV, you'll have the opportunity to make around $100,000 in NIL sponsorships. I do think it's important to note, we do only have one side of the story from the Slukas. UNLV has not said anything of value. They just put out one statement where they said, Sluka made threats. Hilarious statement, by the way. Yeah. But that's it. They haven't, UNLV side hasn't done anything to tell us what's going on, either officially or like unofficially leaking information to the media. They haven't done that either. So that is true. We don't really have both sides of the story. But if Marion said, as starting quarterback at UNLV, you'll have the opportunity to make around $100,000 in NIL sponsorships, Sluka didn't get that. He didn't get anywhere close to that. He became the starting quarterback. They're 3-0, and they gave him zero extra dollars in NIL money. Like, this idea that, oh, Marion could have said $100,000 but only meant $75,000, or said, hey, maybe we'll get close to that. They didn't do anything for him. They gave him $3,000, or they offered him $3,000 a month for 4 months, which is apparently the standard NIL contract for all players.
Also, why don't they get paid for like summer stuff? They're on campus from May until their season's over.
Listen, one of the biggest themes that I think is coming out of this entire story is that Barry Odom doesn't like NIL. That Barry Odom doesn't want there to be significant NIL. I think that's one of the biggest themes and one of the bigger problems from August until now is that the head coach of UNLV doesn't want to deal with NIL.
Are we going to get a quote from him that's on the lines of Dabo Swinney?
Here's the thing. He has said the right things publicly. Like, he's talked about in the past, and he said NIL is a big deal, blah, blah, blah. So he's saying the right things publicly. But this story, it sounds like he doesn't want to do NIL at all.